Hi, everyone. My name's Andy Regan. I'm the IWA's Policy and External Affairs Manager. I'd like to welcome you all to the launch of our new report, A Better Balance, Business Support for the Foundational Economy. So today's event is being held as a Zoom meeting, so it's a slightly different format to most of our recent events for those of you who are our regulars. We'll be beginning with a presentation of the key findings and recommendations from our report, after which we'll be calling on you to contribute comments and questions. So you've all been muted on entry, and we'd like to ask that you remain muted unless we call on you specifically to ask a question. And if you have something you want to ask or to comment, please write it into the chat window and our moderator will flag it up to me and we'll try and get to as many of you as possible. So the big difference today is we will be actually asking people to sort of join us on the video and ask their questions, which we our regulars would know we don't usually do. So please take a minute to make sure that you're displaying your name and, if relevant, your organisation by clicking the blue drop-down menu on your screen. It's nice to know who we've got joining us today. So for those of you who don't know us, the IWA is Wales's leading independent think tank with a long track record of shaping debates and influencing change in Wales through policy research and advocacy through our online and print publications, which provide platforms for robust comment and debate, and our agenda-setting events. We're a membership organisation with members across the country and far further afield, and we're funded by our members, by the events we run ourselves, and by independent trusts and foundations. Over the last year, we've been undertaking research, analysis and policy development looking at the foundational economy in Wales, and this work's been supported through a partnership with CREW, the Centre for Regeneration Excellence in Wales, informed by their history of supporting community regeneration in Wales. Our work on the foundational economy is intended to respond to the rapid rise in popularity of this new idea in Wales, having become an embedded part of the Welsh Labour-led government's approach to economic development. But there's also recognition across the political spectrum that many of the established principles and tools of economic development are looking increasingly outdated. We've seen a decade of sluggish growth and static living standards and levels of inequality between people and between places that are deeply unfair, damaging to people's lives and well-being, and ultimately proving to be corrosive to our democracy as people feel more and more distant from the decisions that shape the places that they live and work. There's also, of course, the pressing need to decarbonise the economy and respond to the nature emergency. These are all huge challenges, but often appear to be secondary concerns in economic policymaking. So the foundation economy is increasingly seen as part of the solution, as it proposes strengthening the provision of everyday goods and services, as well as supporting a resilient and diverse base of firms to supply them. Things that are often considered mundane and unexciting to these distant decision makers, but whose absence is felt both economically and socially in places far away from the quote unquote centre. In the last week, we've seen the Welsh Government putting forward some ambitious rhetoric on what Building Back Better could look like in its plan for recovery, with the foundation economy front and centre. However, we've also seen a report of an in-depth review of procurement practices by the Future Generations Commissioner, and that report highlighted a lack of coordination and of shared principles in making this shift a reality. But procurement's only one part of the picture. There's evidence from Preston, for example, that public procurement can contribute to a stronger foundational economy. But what about the support firms need to help them secure public contracts? And what about the something for something agenda, ensuring firms contribute social as well as economic value to their local area and to Wales? So our aim for this project as a whole is to try and bridge the gap between vision and delivery by focusing on the best way to use the powers available to policymakers in Wales across all levels and departments of government. And this is the first in a number of reports looking at specific aspects of devolved policy that can contribute to a stronger foundational economy. We focused on the role of business support and finance, and later work packages of the project will look at regulation, innovation, skills and infrastructure. So in a second, I'm going to hand over to Dr. Jack Watkins, who's leading our work on the foundational economy project. Please do start putting your questions into the chat during Jack's presentation, and our moderator will pass them through to me for afterwards. So Jack, over to you.
Thanks very much, Andy. I'm just going to share my screen because I'm going to have some slides up while I'm talking. One second. Okay, so hopefully you can see slides. Let me know if not, and I'm just moving into the presentation mode as well. Brilliant. Okay, so as Andy said, thank you very much all for joining us. This is a really good turnout. As Andy said, it's a topic that has kind of captured a bit of attention. And what we're really hoping is that we can contribute to a kind of more informed and a more kind of practical debate going forward, really, about what does actually supporting the foundation economy mean in Wales. I'll touch a little bit on what the foundation economy is. I'm not going to spend too much time sort of talking about definitions, but I think it's important to say, as Andy's highlighted, that the foundation economy really comes at an important moment. It's a moment at which some fairly traditional approaches to economic development, economic policy, are being questioned both from the left and the right. And I think the foundation economy is a really important intervention in that regard, because it actually, the analysis that's been presented as part of the foundation economy literature makes quite clear some of the problems that are now becoming really a lot more visible. In particular, it draws attention to distinctions between different types of firms and how, particularly between the idea of grounded firms, often SMEs who are rooted in a place, and mobile firms, highly financialized, that tend to move around, and commitment to place is a little bit more footloose. Also draws attention to how markets for certain really essential everyday goods and services operate, and draws attention to failures in how those markets operate, sort of outcomes that are not really socially optimal. I think one of the biggest contributions in terms of understanding the Welsh economy is the idea of the missing middle, which is very clear in the foundation economy literature. I think it's something that a lot of people will recognise in the Welsh experience, that there is, within business demography, there's some debate about the nature of this missing middle, but there is a recognition that there is a reliance on a small number of very, very large firms to provide a lot of employment, and that there is a very big sort of tail of micro businesses and SMEs, and that there's not much joining those two together. There's sort of gap in the middle, that's kind of about the progress that SMEs make, the growth that they make. Something that often talked about in Wales is the idea that Welsh firms grow to a certain size and then sell out and leave Wales or cease being middle-sized firms and become branches of larger firms. So there's a lot of a debate to be had about that missing middle concept, I think. What we've approached is the idea of the missing middle and what can policymakers do about it, specifically within the devolved settlement. There's a lot of discussion about procurement, and there's been a lot of really good, really detailed work that's currently ongoing looking at procurement. So we've tried to approach it from a different side, sort of looking at the from the policy end, if you can create procurement opportunities, the commissioning opportunities, what do you need to support firms to be able to access them? And what do you need to support firms who maybe don't want to access public procurement, but are still operating in these markets, in these foundational spaces? What do they need? What kind of support can they get? If we recognise, as is the case, that they've often been ignored in policymaking. So we're looking at business support, finance, regulation, and as we've mentioned, innovation and skills. So this first report is the first of a number of reports we're going to produce as part of the project. For putting this report together, we've basically done a fairly desk-based review of a lot of policy documents, existing evaluations, monitoring data, and things like annual reports, looked at a lot of scrutiny sessions and evidence that's been presented to the Senedd, as well as having a number of discussions with business owners, business organisations, and also with kind of academia, with researchers who are looking at these issues from a variety of perspectives. And what we hope is that our findings and recommendations can contribute to something quite practical in terms of the next Welsh government. We're aware that business support is kind of in the spotlight for some different reasons. The contract for Business Wales in particular is up as of 2020. So there is an ongoing project, and we're hoping that some of this can feed into that. But it's also about a general reflection on the direction of Welsh economic policy, which is quite timely considering that there's an election coming up. So to start with, I'll just quickly run over what an idea of business support is, so that we've all got an idea of what we could expect, what reasonably can we expect from business support programs. Focusing on what's happened over the last 50 or so years, really, where the idea of business support as a policy area really comes into its own. You have a number of different approaches, sometimes being done in different ways at the same time, sometimes overlapping. The idea of industrial strategy suggests something that's quite proactive. It's essentially about policymakers investing in particular firms or particular sectors, sort of picking winners, picking firms that it thinks is going to provide the jobs of the future, and government taking a role in those firms, sometimes taking part ownership of firms. This was something that was often associated with the kind of post-war period. But since the 1970s, what we've seen certainly in the UK has been the idea that instead what works best is to provide a more light touch improvement to the business environment. It's really about creating the conditions through which businesses can go off and do what they do and grow or fail as is their want, really. And that means usually it's about tax policy, it's about regulation. It's sometimes about skills and making sure that skills policy links up with what business wants. At the same time as that, there's a parallel trend, which is something, again, I'm sure will be familiar to a lot of people in Wales, certainly that the trend of having regional development bodies and actually looking at the region as an economic area. And a lot of regional development agencies tended to focus on bringing investment into an area. Some were also focused on businesses within the area, but some of their biggest successes were in attracting foreign investment into areas. And it's worth saying that Wales was relatively successful at this for a time as well. And across this whole long period of time, there have been these periodic focus on sectors. Policymakers have throughout that time really been across different programs of government, identifying sectors where they believe growth will happen, sectors where they have an interest in investing, while still remaining light touch. So despite having a sector focus and despite talk of things like industrial policy and industrial strategy, all of this has remained within a relatively light touch approach. We haven't seen what, for instance, the UK saw in the post-war years. And it's also worth flagging up that there is a kind of additional branch, which is about entrepreneurship and just supporting people to start businesses. Sometimes that's been very, very targeted, and again, targeted at sectors. Sometimes it's just been very general, and it has just been about providing kind of financial support for people to start up businesses. So there's a real range of approaches that have been taken, and what's happened in Wales has generally followed a lot of these different approaches, but to varying degrees. So in our review, we focus on three core programmes. There are other programmes that are available to firms in Wales, particularly firms that are looking at innovation and R&D. We'll be looking at support that's provided at a UK level. But the kind of Welsh offer is built around the core of Business Wales, the Development Bank of Wales, and the Welsh Government. The Welsh Government's role, I'll kind of start with maybe, it really started after the dissolution of the WDA. And the Welsh Government provides a lot of what the WDA was providing before in terms of marketing Wales internationally, securing investment, and actually providing direct financial support to firms as well. Often the support that it provides is kind of non-repayable, and often, particularly with these other structures in place, it tends to be support that would not be appropriate for the Development Bank to provide, either because it's not repayable or because of the amount of the support. Looking then, sort of working backwards across this, looking at the Development Bank of Wales, it's relatively new, and it really focuses on the repayable finance aspect directly to Welsh businesses. It's publicly backed, but it operates very much as a business bank. It was sort of designed to fill a recognised gap in access to finance, business finance in Wales, something that's been particularly prominent after the financial crisis in 2008. And then beyond kind of money, the Business Wales programme is really provides an array of support. So it's information, advice, guidance. There's access to things like training programs. There is sort of moving up different tiers of support so that different businesses may have individual advisors that work with them on a project basis or work over a period of time. And it really acts as a one-stop shop as well. It's kind of the entry point for a lot of business support. We've looked across a lot of existing evaluations and monitoring data on these organizations, these programs, and really found that there is some evidence that they do a relatively good job at what they are set out to do. So Business Wales in particular, there's good evidence that it does support employment, it supports firms to enter new markets and to export, and that it does so with a relatively good value for money. Similarly with the Development Bank of Wales, it's addressed a clear regional bias. It's been described very much that way, as a regional bias against Wales in terms of business finance, and has done some really important work to plug that gap, not only by lending, but kind of pump-priming private sector lending as well. It's a little bit more of a mixed picture, though, when we talk about the Welsh Government and the Welsh Government's investments. I'm sure we're all aware of some very high-profile examples of large firms that have received quite significant backing, quite significant investment from the Welsh Government. In many cases, the kind of background to that investment is not really transparent. It's not really clear what the expectations were, what was expected in return for the money. And analysis by the Federation of Small Businesses suggests that it comes at quite a high cost per job as well. And perhaps beyond the questions about how these individual programs perform, I guess the kind of more the more important question really is it having the kind of impact on the Welsh economy as a whole that we might expect? And the answer to that is quite a complex one, because it's partly really about what our expectations are and about managing those expectations. So these programs, despite it showing some success in terms of what they're doing, they're not having an impact really in terms of productivity growth or really having any kind of clear link to improved living standards across the Welsh economy as a whole. You know, you can definitely identify impacts in terms of individual firms and even some sectors, but it's difficult to see that across the Welsh economy as a whole. As I'm sure we're all aware, you know, it's often talked about that the Welsh economy has not really moved during 20 years of devolution. But it would be wrong to say that that's the fault of business support programs. It really requires looking at a number of features behind that. The main one really being macroeconomic conditions. You know, the Welsh economy tracks the UK economy to a large extent, and the UK economy in the last 10 years has not been doing that well. So talking about in terms of productivity, in terms of growth more generally, this all points towards the idea that we kind of alluded to at the outset, that maybe the traditional aims and the traditional approaches of economic development policy are having less effect than they have done in the past. There is a more specific issue, which is about scale, and it's just about the number of firms that can access this support. There is definitely scope for some of this support to be extended further and to reach further into the Welsh economy. Perhaps the most troubling of all of these reasons is about just the difficulty of capturing the benefits of growth. It's become a lot more difficult to secure large numbers of jobs from a number of high growth firms. It's also become more difficult to tax a lot of them. A lot of them are a lot more kind of mobile. They are moving around, and their commitment to an area is less than what it would have been in the past. So in response, I think one of our kind of key observations is that we need to be kind of realistic and much more granular in how we set expectations for what we think business support programs can achieve. And principally that means thinking about the longer term. You know, the devolution settlement doesn't really give the Welsh Government power to effect really rapid and really visible changes in the Welsh economy. It's much more about investing in the kind of assets and the things that will hopefully contribute to a more resilient and healthy economy over time. So our recommendations in this report are broken down into four key areas. The first of these is about sector policy. So I mentioned earlier that there is a kind of mix in business support generally between looking at sectors and then sometimes doing things in a very general way, which is open to almost anyone. In the last 10 years, and I think going a little bit before that, Welsh governments have tended to have priority sectors. They've tended to identify sectors that they think are a route for investment, direct investment, but also this influences things like skills policy, the qualification system. However, there's, having looked at this across the last 10 years and looked at the way that it impacts on the delivery of business support, I think one of the most striking things is that these priorities change quite regularly, and they don't seem to change in a way that has much of a bearing on what business support does. It's also not entirely clear why sectors are selected. You see amongst the sectors that are kind of put forward by governments that there are some which are recognised strengths and there are others where there are real weaknesses. And it's not quite clear that the programmes are making those distinctions, so that, you know, the aims of programmes will often be about jobs growth, and some sectors are more likely to produce that than others, not just because of the sector itself, but because of how it's performing generally. So we're calling for a much more research-orientated approach. It should be a much more transparent process of identifying sectors, and it needs to be informed by a wider source of data, basically. I think there's definitely scope for bringing in not necessarily what we think of as economic data, but kind of doing much more engagement and much more kind of consultation to inform that as well. And really like triangulating different data sources so that we're able to look at a fairly robust picture of what's happening in the Welsh economy as a whole, but also identify where there are opportunities. It shouldn't just be about picking, you know, the biggest sector or the sector which has the biggest concentration of firms. It should really be about looking at opportunities. And one thing that we think there's a real opportunity to do is to really marry economic development much more up with procurement data. You know, we've mentioned in the Foundation Economy that there's this real interest in procurement as a form of economic development. Procurement records a lot of data about how certain markets operate. And it's not clear at that moment that that's really being fed into economic development at all. It tends to be held at the level at which the commissioning takes place. And as I've mentioned, really, and it's a theme throughout the report, that where there are different sectors, where there are different priorities, targets need to be much more detailed. And it's setting up to fail if we expect all sectors to respond to support in the same way and for them to have the same kind of impacts in the Welsh economy. So just as an illustration of that, here's a kind of a very basic overview of productivity in different Welsh sectors. And it shows productivity relative to the UK average. And what I hope it illustrates is that within this list, there are sectors here that have been priorities at different times. Some of these, such as information communication, we can see that Wales is very, very far behind the UK average in terms of productivity. And then others, such as accommodation and service activities, have not always been really represented in sector policy at all. So I think what this shows is that the sector policy is not always being clear about what it's expecting from these different sectors. They're often lumped in together as priorities, and we're not really setting out a clear path for what we expect each one of them to achieve. There may be good reasons to focus on sectors where we've fallen behind, but we shouldn't expect the same thing as if we're investing in a sector where we've gone ahead. Related to that is about the concept of productivity. And I think there's more detailed work that could be done on this than what we've had time really to do here. But I think part of the problem of productivity as a measure is that it responds more to certain activities than to others. So there are certain activities where they're not exportable or not tradable, or where their inputs are largely determined by how much public money is spent on them, they don't necessarily show up as being very productive, but they can have a really, really significant impact on social well-being, including health and well-being. So we think that there is a lot of activities in the foundation economy that are currently falling into a bit of a gap. There is a focus within business support on targets that suggest growth, so more jobs, more exports, and these firms won't really fit into that. But similarly, there are kind of public service improvement programs that might be focused on the NHS, which similarly will not be reaching these firms either. Nonetheless, these firms will be providing essential services, things that contribute to our well-being, sometimes things that contribute to the performance of public services. At the moment, they're not really able to get support through either one of those routes. So that's partly about changing priorities and changing the way, again, informing that task of identifying what priorities are. We also think there's a really important role for government to play as a kind of taking a strategic view of things, really investing in sort of foresight, looking at future trends. There is some good work already in Wales. There's the Future Trends Report every year. And I think that could really just be turned into something that's kind of more accessible and more useful for businesses. One of the things, particularly with SMEs, there's some evidence that, they really struggle to have their spare capacity to be able to invest in foresight, to invest in planning. Some research, I think, funded by the Hodge Foundation last time, succession plan, don't really have a business plan beyond the current year. And in order to kind of build a shared set of priorities between policymakers, business support programs, and firms, we think there's an opportunity to really emphasize shared challenges. Decarbonisation is really chief among these. It's no good decarbonising just the largest firms. Decarbonisation needs to reach every firm in the economy. We currently have a situation where a very large number of small firms really don't have very much engagement with policy at all. And that can't continue if we want those firms to adapt what they do and to take on new technologies. A third area that we've put our recommendations into is really about thinking about entrepreneurship. As I mentioned earlier, there are programs which have really focused on sectors and on firms, and there are others which have been a generic way kind of focused on entrepreneurship and on people starting businesses, offers some scope to really refocus so that it is not just thinking about, your kind of tech entrepreneurs, but it's actually about the everyday experience of owning and running a business. And thinking of that much more as a kind of a cultural thing. It's looking at the relationships between different businesses, particularly at a local level through things like chambers of trade and business associations. Actually, businesses provide each other with a lot of support. They provide a lot of information and advice to one another. That's currently not really sort of captured or supported necessarily. And similarly, if investment and support is really just targeting high growth firms, there's a risk that these kind of entrepreneurial ecosystems fall under the radar a little bit because support is being targeted at where policymakers expect growth to happen. And there's a real opportunity, I think, coming out of what's been a really, really difficult time over COVID-19. There's an opportunity to actually build those relationships between government and business. Business Wales in particular has been involved in delivering the Economic Resilience Fund, so it's expanded its contacts. And I think there's a real opportunity for those contacts to be used in a wider project, really, of identifying what are the problems that businesses face, widespread engagement on what it is that businesses need and matching that to what it is that Welsh Government can do. Something quite specific, and I think would go some way to opening up support to a wider range of firms, is to really look at the microfinance and look at the microfinance offer currently. There is a microloans fund as part of the Development Bank of Wales. But if you look at the amounts that are being lended, they're really at the kind of higher end of what we would expect microfinance to be, certainly when we look at development banks across Europe. The kind of average loan is closer to what the top end loan would be elsewhere. So, and I think this is something that the bank have recognised, it's something that they've flagged up themselves, and it's quite a new institution. So I think there's a really good opportunity there to just really make it more of a development bank where it's currently acting as a business bank. And a final area of our recommendations, and one that hopefully goes a bit wider than foundation economy really, is about thinking about the structures for all of this. I think looking at the core offer that we've described in the port, the Business Wales Development Bank and the Welsh Government, there's a good argument for keeping that relatively stable, that actually they're all quite recognised. It's also any kind of reform in terms of creating new institutions always takes a bit of time to bed in. So I think there are some good arguments for just strengthening the structures that are already there, putting them on a more stable footing. And a huge part of that really has to do with what happens with the end of European structural investment. So a lot of the Welsh Government's ability to do economic policy has really been funded by ERDF and ESF, European Regional Development Funds. We don't know fully what the Shared Prosperity Fund is going to look like, or the Levelling Up Fund, but I think we do know that they're not going to operate on the same 7-year cycle. There is probably going to be a different focus, a different policy focus, and they'll probably take a different approach. And probably most importantly, there doesn't seem to be a role for Welsh Government in that. The UK government has indicated that it expects it to be the UK government interacting with local authorities. So as time goes by and that becomes clearer how that fund will work, I think the Welsh government's going to have to be quite nimble in order to actually create some kind of fiscal space for itself to do economic policy, because there isn't going to be that funding operating in the same way in the future. One of the ways we're suggesting that could be done is really through coordination. You know, one of the really important interventions of the foundation economy is actually pointing out that a lot of spending in things like social care can act as economic, it has an economic impact. It can almost be economic development funding. So in order to really achieve that, foundation economy needs to be something that doesn't sit under one minister. It needs to be something that's working across government departments. We've suggested that one way that could be achieved is by having a kind of central unit. This is something that the OECD report on regional development in Wales has also suggested. Something that is kind of at the very centre, attached to the First Minister, that enables departments to kind of work in a coordinated way, and enables strategy to be kind of fed down a little bit more as well. And that is going to be hugely important for whatever UK funds look like in the future, because as I've suggested, it's probably not going to work the same way as ERDF. It's going to have to be really quality bids. It's going to be more competitive. Different areas across the UK are going to be competing with one another. Wales is going to have to put in very good quality bids. And there's a worrying development if you look at things like research and development, which are already quite competitive. Wales doesn't do very well. So I think there's a real challenge there for policymakers to work together across different levels of government to make sure that Wales can access these different funding streams. And finally, we're suggesting that there's a huge space open really for coming to something that's more like a consensus-based vision of what the Welsh economy should be like in the future. At the moment, as I've set out, we have priorities that change each period of government. Sometimes sectors are added in or disappear within a period of government. It's overall not necessarily strategic, and it's very much tied to political timelines. This was something that European Regional Development Funds managed to get away from, being 7 years and being set by the European Commission. They weren't something that individual governments were necessarily chopping and changing within one period. they would be able to put their own priorities and their own spin on it, but ultimately it was a package of funding that was operating on a slightly longer term. We think that it's really important that really politically and across civil society that there is some agreement on the kinds of areas that the Welsh economy should be moving into. So just to conclude, some themes across this report, and then hopefully we'll open up to questions and comments. Our main thing is that business support could be doing a lot more. There's some evidence these programs are good, they just need to be reaching more firms. And in order to do that, they need to expand a little bit who they want to work with. And that means recognizing that firms in the foundational economy can contribute to positive outcomes, both economically and socially. And also, in order to kind of make this work over the longer term, there's a real challenge that governments need to be much better at setting expectations, not expecting everything to work towards necessarily jobs growth, but investing in the longer term in a way that means building capacity and potentially building the ability of firms to become fast growers in the future, potentially. So that's a whistle-stop tour of our report. The report is going to be available on our website, and we'd urge you all to get a copy, to have a read through. We're open to all kinds of comments, suggestions, critiques, everything. What we want to do is start a discussion, basically. And that starts here today, really. So appreciating that I've gone through everything fairly quickly there and you're not having a great amount of time to take it all in, hopefully there's something that that we can all build on there and open up to questions.
Thanks, Jack. So, as Jack said, going to go to some questions now. I was really pleased to see that we had plenty of representatives of small businesses signed up for today's event. And we'd be particularly interested to hear from you any kind of comments, reflections, and questions about the report. Does it feel kind of relevant to how your business works in the real world? Do you have any experiences of the existing business support to share? And is there anything that we've missed that you think we should be thinking about as we take the project forward? So I've got three questions lined up. The first one was an anonymous one, which I'll read out. And then I'm going to ask Lear at Gareth and then Duncan Forbes to jump on and ask their question on video. But first, an anonymous question for Jack, which is what role do you see for social enterprise in both developing the social and well-being aspects and impact of the foundational economy and in potentially addressing the issues of the missing middle in Wales?
Well, I think in many ways, social enterprise is the gold standard. It's about the missing middle. My interpretation is that it's about firms that are committed because of the way that they operate. They're committed to doing something social. They're committed to an area because it's important for them, because that's where their workforce comes from or that's where their customers are. So they want to invest in that area. But at the same time, they're commercially viable and they're successful commercially. Which makes them sustainable over the longer term. And I think social enterprises really kind of ticks that first box very, very clearly. The structure of the business automatically does that. I think the real challenge and what's proven really difficult over time is combining those two things. And I think it's partly about the general improvements that work for all small businesses. We have to assume that those will also work for social enterprises. But I think there's also scope there really for, and I know that Social Business Wales does a lot of this, that there is specific support there, which is about encouraging social business as a form of sort of succession planning. That's where I think the real opportunities are. And that's maybe where we haven't seen social enterprises necessarily developing in the past, where we might expect them to. Very much a big role to play. The challenge is about how you actually support it through policy, because ultimately social enterprise comes from people wanting to do it. It doesn't come from policymakers telling them to do it.
Quite right. Okay, so Lear at Gareth from FSB, if you're able to unmute yourself, switch your video on and join us for your question. Lear, are you around?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm not sure if you can see me. So I wasn't expecting to be actually on video. So if people all that sort of stuff, please forgive that. I guess my thanks for the report. There's a lot of really useful stuff you're clearly covering, and there's a lot of stuff which overlaps with perhaps some of the problems we're trying to get to for the next, the next period in the post-COVID and post-Brexit landscape for all of this stuff. So I'm just going to come back to the part, Jack, where you discussed the perhaps the long-term vision and how do you get to that consensus? I mean, that cross-party consensus, even if it's a thin consensus, if you like, about where we go. Would you agree with our proposal in our manifesto that a economic development bill early in the next Senedd, which lines up sort of what different institutions' duties are, what a good economy looks like, and what the measures are to go with that, which sort of builds on perhaps some of the gaps that are in the Wellbeing Future Generations Bill. And that's something that all parties could sign up to. Is that the sort of approach that you would maybe be happy to look at?
Definitely. I think certainly in terms of that firming up the roles and responsibilities, setting it on statutory footing, I think seems like a really good way of getting past the idea that the programs are kind of funded for a fixed period and it gets away from the cliff edge, that the support is going to stop at a certain point. I think the things that have to go into thinking about that, what that bill would look like, is partly carving out where the funding comes from so that can be stable as well, so that it's not going to be, that there is going to be a core source of funding, and how that relates to things like tax powers and generally the Welsh government's budget. So I think this, I think it would be really useful for putting all this on a more stable footing. I think there's probably still a role for something like strategy beyond that. I wouldn't want to suggest that we're against the idea of governments having a strategy, because obviously you get elected, you want to put your priorities into practice. I think it's much more that they shouldn't be able to sort of toy with the key structures, and yes, definitely having legislation helps to avoid that.
Okay, thanks, Lear, and thanks, Jack. So Duncan Forbes had a question. Duncan, are you there to come and ask?
Thanks, Andy. Nice to see you. And I apologize, I haven't read the report, but I suppose I'm interested in the coverage of the local driving of this, really, because the experience, I suppose, from Preston is that local partnerships is the way to go forward and make a real difference on some of this stuff. And that's true in housing associations in Wales, who've been driving this sort of foundation economy approach for 10, 15 years, working with local partners in their locality. So, I mean, the national picture is obviously important as a sort of framework, but isn't it better to rely on the local partnerships and networks, sometimes regional partnerships and networks, whereas bigger businesses? But to really, because I mean, what businesses used to tell us in Torvine when I was chief executive at Bron Avon was that they want premises, they want land, they want to talk about business rates, they want to get planning permission quickly, they want a network of employees potentially, they want to make links with schools and FE colleges. They want to, there's a whole range of things they want to do, but they're mainly at a local level. And seeing some of the things they need feeding into their business at that level rather than a national level.
I think that's a really, really good point. And if I'm honest, it's something that is not dealt with in that much detail in this report, because we started from the position of looking at the kind of core business support programs, which I think one of the challenges is whether you could deliver something like Business Wales at a local level, at a local authority-led level, and that's a particular challenge. So some of these structures, I think, to kind of reach the scale and to get the kind of expertise in, probably need to be at a national level, but they need to be kind of they need to be coordinated at a national level, but they need to have more kind of localism in the way that they're delivered, if that makes sense. One challenge, I think, and the Welsh government is looking at its regional investment framework at the moment. I hope that this will kind of do something to help this. But I think one of the challenges is that is the consistency in all of the different sub-national levels of government. So having local authorities that might take different approaches can make it quite difficult for businesses to engage. I think that the regional kind of geography in Wales is not really firmed up yet. And obviously the Welsh government's proposal now with the regional investment framework is that it will be along the lines of the city deals and the growth deals. So a sort of southeast Swansea Bay and a north and mid. And I think that there's a lot more work needs to be done on actually kind of firming up the governance arrangements behind that. But I would say in the long term, those need to be a part of how these programmes are being delivered. I'd argue they're being delivered at a Wales level at the moment, probably because that's been the way that they've been coordinated, and because there hasn't been that same consistency at the level below to enable them to be delivered. But it should definitely be part of what's going forward in the future.
Thanks, Duncan. So next question, if he's ready, will be from Jonathan Tench from the Future Generations Commissioner's Office. Jonathan, can you join us?
Thanks very much. I'm not sure if my camera function is working or not. But thank you for that. Great report. I was just curious, now that the Welsh Government has signed up to a net zero 2050 target, could you expand a bit more on the opportunities to use the foundational economy approach to support SMEs to decarbonize? You know, are there opportunities around the conditionalities in terms of all of the various grants now going to business with COVID relief, or perhaps there are more effective interventions? Thanks.
So, yeah, I'll assume by conditionalities you mean things like the economic contract and the kind of, you know, the something for something kind of agenda. I think that's a very important part of it. And I think we should have the expectation that any businesses that's getting public support should be doing things that are in public interest. It sort of seems like a no-brainer. But in terms of SMEs in particular, I think it has to be a little bit more carrot than stick. It's not necessarily about a regulatory thing. I think that really one of the things we're going to explore in a later piece of work we mentioned earlier about innovation and skills is really about thinking about innovation in a socially valuable way. Innovation means efficiency and cutting down on carbon use. At the moment, and particularly in the foundation economy, if we look at a lot of sectors that are working through public procurement, there's not necessarily the overhead in what they're getting paid that enables them to go away and innovate. So they're delivering, you know, they're paid to deliver a certain number of units and they deliver them and then they move on to the next contract. And there's not much incentive there for them to necessarily change the way they're doing things so that they're sort of making it more efficient, potentially cutting down on expensive interventions. And that includes use of carbon and use of natural resources as well. So I think it's really got to be much more about how you incentivize these things. That conditionalities will work for larger firms. And I think that's something Welsh Government has explored through the pandemic. But I think we haven't quite got there yet, but there needs to be something. I think it's around getting more R&D funding into Wales and then getting better links from the kind of knowledge generating institutions, getting those links to different SMEs. But it's also about just creating a little bit of space for them to afford to do it as well.
Thanks, Jonathan. So next I'd like to ask Kasim Ali to join us. You had some concerns about from an SME perspective. Are you there, Kasim?
Yeah, hi there. Great presentation. Thanks for that. And I think there's a lot of good things that have been mentioned. The one thing that kept on concerning me as it was developing was the role of Welsh Government and the hierarchy in terms of making these decisions and controlling it and choosing winners and language like that. And I think as a movement, we need to really push hard for the people on the ground to be making these decisions, because recent events, even over the course of the last year, as well as Welsh governments, you know, have tried to do, it's clear that they don't know. This is, you know, especially in our industry, they don't know anything about the industry, and perhaps some of the advisors they have out of touch, you know. So I think we really need to focus on bottom-up approach to this, because if we use the usual suspects to make all the decisions, we'll get the usual results, which haven't been pretty. So I just wanted to stress that moving forward, we need to not have this centrally controlled.
I completely agree with that. And I think the big thing for me, the really striking thing for me, is just that at the moment, whatever the reasons behind the decisions, it's almost like we don't know. You know, we're looking at a list of sectors. These are the sectors that are going to be priorities, and there's no evidence base. It's not like they can say we've chosen this because we spoke to businesses and businesses told us to choose it. It's not, they can't say, well, we did, you know, kind of, we were looking at economic data and this suggested that this is going to be a growing sector. It's just, it could be both, it could be neither, it could be other things, and at the moment it's just not clear. So obviously having that transparency is the first part, but something we talk about throughout this report is just a much better relationship between government and business. And that when I talk about multiple data sources for informing these priorities, it has to include that kind of engagement. It can't be done remotely. It can't be done from an office. It has to involve, yes, there has to be some number crunching and there has to be some kind of mapping and spatial analysis, but it has to be talking to people, because there may be sectors that are doing very well, don't really need support, and you end up throwing public money after things that would probably do all right anyway. And that's also something we want to avoid. So I completely agree. I'd also say that this isn't about creating advisory boards and advisory panels and structures like that around government, because those don't necessarily work for SMEs. They don't work for businesses generally. You have to have a bit of time on your hands to do it. And you've got to commit time over a long period. That's not necessarily the best way of doing this engagement. I think what we're suggesting is that government can do that engagement by really meeting with businesses on their terms, you know, getting into local networks, maybe tapping into things like chambers of trade, but also, you know, wider business networks, looking at things like business services and going to them and saying, you know, who are you in contact with and how could we engage with the businesses you work with? So it really does need to be engagement, but on terms that work for business, not what works for government.
Thanks, Kasim. So I think we're coming close to time. So I'm going to take one more question from Simon Wright in a moment. And then I have another one that I'm just going to read out in the interest of time. And then we'll start to wrap up. So Simon, over to you.
You can really move on from a cat. Cass basically asked the same question as I was going to ask, and top-down approach. I think that lack of understanding is, as far as independent hospitality in Wales is concerned, we had to kind of get ourselves together in June of last year. Because we didn't have a voice with Welsh government, so we formed a thing called the Welsh Independent Restaurant Collective. It's been really instructive talking to Welsh government since that point, particularly in respect of funding and trying to make the argument or make them understand that we're very, very different from the rest of hospitality, the chains, for example. Mm-hmm. And what's clear is that the numbers just aren't there in Welsh government. The research isn't there. The academic underpinning isn't there at the moment. You know, we've been trying to replace that with things like surveys and stuff that we've carried out ourselves. So, you know, my concern is that foundational economy is being talked about in lots of really encouraging ways. I think it's very, very important to what we do in Wales. But we also need to, first of all, understand what is already going on out there. Businesses like ours, independent and hospitality in particular, the motivation for those businesses is completely different. You know, people don't get up in the morning thinking, you know, how am I going to get my next yacht? They get up in the morning thinking, how can I have more fun in my business? How can I be a better part of the community? How, you know, it's money is a part of it, but it's a smaller part of it.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting to hear. And to be honest, just, yeah, taps into a lot of things that we've come out of this review very much thinking the same, that there is a need for a bit more resource into this, I think, in government. And that's an investment, should be seen as an investment, really. You know, investing time in doing this, yes, it's money that, you know, they may see it as money that's not going straight to businesses on the front line, but actually by making that investment, and that's why we talk about a long-term approach as well, is, you know, you make that investment and it informs what you do over a 10-year period. And there's an example we put in the report of this happened in a way in Greater Manchester. You know, there was a real commitment from a wide variety of parties to sit down and say, right, we're going to set out a vision. We're not going to revisit it constantly. We're going to set out this vision. It's going to be really data-led, really kind of get a lot of, you know, academia and expertise to look at it, as well as getting businesses to come forward with their expertise. You know, it kind of sets a tone that is very easy to follow after that.
Thanks, Simon. So I'm going to read out a question from Graham Lewis, just in the interest of time. So Graham says, I would really like to see Wales appoint a business czar with real experience of the pointy end of the industry, maybe along the lines of Theopathetis or Peter Jones, real experience and advice. So I guess question for anybody in the chat room, would you like to suggest who your kind of favourite Dragon's Den member might be who would fill that role appropriately? But to Jack, this is something you and I have talked about that coordination internally. Is there a need to bring somebody in for this kind of role, or is it covered by the structures that we've set out elsewhere?
I think that going back to maybe what Simon was suggesting before, that it's sometimes really tempting to get an advisor or a structure, and within that structure, you're not capturing the diversity of what the business experience is. To be honest, sometimes you're hearing who shouts loudest and who has the most time and the most resource to commit to that kind of engagement. That's not necessarily going to, you know, they might tell you what's working in their sector, but it's not necessarily going to tell you about firms that are struggling elsewhere. So I certainly like the idea of having people who are maybe not, you know, necessarily active at the moment in business, but have been in the past, who were able to take on a more full-time role with government. I think the real challenge, though, is getting representation. And for that, I think you'll always need to, whatever that structure is, that formal structure, you'll always need to be topping it up with more informal engagement on a rolling basis.
And I think there's something, isn't there, about whenever government does this sort of consultation work, you need to square the circle off and be going back to the people you consulted to tell them what you've actually done about what you know they've told you. Mm. Otherwise you get kind of consultation syndrome. So it's probably a structure within government needed to do that kind of coordination and joining up. But I think the key point from us is, you know, you need to be resourcing that ground level engagement and hearing from lots of different voices. So yeah, so thanks to everybody for the comments and questions today. It's always difficult to kind of, there's so much more we could cover in the time available, but as Jack said, this is just the start of a process of engagement. We've set out our ideas and we'd be very interested in hearing more from you if you have any further thoughts on the report once it's published. It'll be available on our website, and it's very easy to get in touch with us from there with your thoughts afterwards. So please do take the opportunity to follow up with Jack and myself. So I just want to thank Jack personally for his hard and really thorough work researching this report. He's put a lot of time into it and done a really, really good job of reading it, a huge amount of material and pulling it all together. I think he set out a really clear challenge to the next Welsh Government on an area of policy, which whilst it isn't going to set the front pages on fire talking about business support, but it's clearly a really important part of this puzzle of how to unlock a thriving foundational economy in Wales. I'd like to thank the members of the Project Advisory Group, some of whom are listening today, for all the time they've put into helping Jack with this work. And particular thanks to Debbie Green and her team at our funding partner Crewe for making this project possible. So to get advance notice of all IWA events and keep up to date with this and our other projects in future, please do consider signing up and joining us as a member or supporter. You can do that by visiting our website, iwa.wales, where you'll also find the report from this project under the Our Work section, and find ways to get in touch with us and let us know what you think. So thanks very much for attending today, and hope to see you all again soon.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks very much.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Well,